You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Good morning, friend. Welcome into the Mike Allen Show here on this Friday, January 20th, St. Sebastian Day. Also, the inauguration day of the 45th President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. Words that I never imagined, and I think probably few imagined 4 years ago, would be uttered today. So congratulations to our president, our president-elect. He'll be sworn in, I guess. He'll take the oath of office in the Oval Office this morning and then be sworn in publicly, the more formality there as a part of the inauguration ceremony, and give his inauguration speech. He's having tea this morning with the president and Michelle Obama, who will then be leaving the White House, and the Trump's moving in. And it's a new day in the United States of America, no doubt. What that day will be like, I guess, remains to be seen, but, you know, we live in a representative democracy or republic, and we have voted, and this was the result. So we have a new president, we have a peaceful transition of power, and we pray, as we always do. We pray in gratitude for the freedoms that we enjoy, and we pray in intercession for the leadership of our new president, and we ask for the Lord's grace and wisdom and mercy and strength to guide him in all things, and all our elected officials. And this is a command we have straight from the pages of Scripture, and which has always been part of our Christian tradition. So we pray for Donald Trump, and we'll do that here in a minute. I've got a prayer here from the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops that I think is a good one that we can pray together. We'll get the day started off on the right foot. How about that? Also, a little bit later today, we're going to be talking to Inez San Martin. Inez, who writes for the website Crux Now, run by John Allen, the chief editor, who is sometimes a guest on this program. Inez has also been a guest on this program many, many times. She's from Argentina. She lives in Rome. She covers the church, the Vatican, and all that. And so we'll be talking to her again, first time in a little bit of a while. So I'll be glad to have Inez sit back on. And we're going to talk about a couple of interesting articles from Crux recently. One was from Charlie Camosi, who has been on this program, who is a professor of ethics and theology at Fordham University. Charlie Camosi, who's an outspoken advocate for what he sees as a whole life approach to the sanctity of life, who is tireless in his defense of the sanctity of the unborn, but believes that those of us who care about the lives of the unborn need to make sure that we have integrity in our affirmation of the church's vision of human life from conception to natural death. And therefore, we approach the life issue in its totality. So you can't, on the one hand, for example, decry the crime and the sin of abortion, where at the same time giving a pass to the idea of torture, or not caring about, for example, health care, that they all go together, and that if we're going to have credibility as pro-life people, we really do need to advocate a total vision of what the sanctity of human life is about. But one of the things he did, kind of surprising actually, is he wrote an open letter to Pope Francis that was in Crux, encouraging the Holy Father to be more forceful in his language about abortion. That yes, while the Holy Father has made clear that he doesn't want to in any way be a what you might call a culture war pope, in which the church obsesses, I think were the words the Holy Father used, on just a couple of moral issues, to have a more balanced and integrated vision, Mr. Camosi thinks that more forceful language on the issue of abortion from the Holy Father is needed, because if not, it simply tends to recede in to become one issue among many, and sometimes an issue that's more easily ignored. So I'm going to with that article in one hand, and then with Inez's recent piece on when the Pope, on the fact that when the Pope does talk about abortion, and she acknowledges Pope Francis does not talk about it perhaps as often as his two immediate predecessors, Benedict and John Paul II, but when he does, he uses more forceful language. So we'll talk about that with her a little bit later in the show. Some other things, some good advice for rookie Catholics, and the real key to Christian unity. Certainly, if you want to call, be a part of the program, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4, or you can email me, MikeAllenShow@gmail.com, or you can post a thought on Facebook or on Twitter. I will admit, and if you at all are friends with me on social media, on Facebook, you saw that I posted something about this yesterday. I've struggled with this whole presidential election. I struggled in the days leading up to November 8th. Struggled in the sense that I could not in good conscience bring myself to vote for either candidate. I thought they were both, in the words of Hillary Clinton, deplorable. Couldn't vote for them. Though I understand, you know, everybody's got to come to grips in their own conscience, because in a situation in which neither candidate is ideal and both candidates have issues in which they support intrinsic moral evils, as I believed that both candidates did, then there's different ways that you can discern, according to your conscience, on how to vote. You can either say, you know what, I can't cast a vote for either candidate because of that, which is the route I went. Or you can say, okay, when I look at things in balance, I have to vote for the one who I think will do the least amount of evil and cast that vote. And so there were those who used that discernment and voted for a third-party candidate like myself. There are those who used that discernment and voted for Hillary Clinton, and there are those who use that discernment and voted for Donald Trump. I don't question the Catholic bona fides of any of those persons. But now that it's over, and now that Donald Trump is going to be inaugurated as president today, which seems so surreal to me in many ways, and you got to tip your hat, I mean, in terms of just the sheer accomplishment that he's pulled off. I mean, seriously. It is really quite remarkable and says something about the unique skill set, I guess, that he brings to the Oval Office. But I would be less than honest if I didn't say that I have grave concerns about the person that we're inaugurating into office today. All the more reason, then, that we need to pray. And we'll talk about a little bit that today, that maybe some of the reasons for my grave concerns, but also the fact that, you know what, I have to admit, I don't know how it's going to turn out. None of us do. And so, therefore, we pray. So here's a prayer from the USCCB. I'm going to use part of it. It is a prayer from the U.S. edition of the Book of Blessings. It's an adaptation of the prayer for the church and for civil authorities, which was composed by Archbishop John Carroll for use on the occasion of the inauguration of George Washington in 1789. Archbishop John Carroll, one of the early Catholic leaders in this country, I think it was his brother or his cousin who signed the Declaration of Independence. Anyway, so we'll pray a part of this prayer together right now, and we will have begun to be faithful to our duty as Christian citizens to pray for our elected officials. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty and eternal God, you have revealed your glory to all nations. God of power and might, wisdom and justice, through you authority is rightly administered, laws are enacted, and judgment is decreed. For the President, Donald J. Trump, assist with your spirit of counsel and fortitude the President of these United States, that his administration may be conducted in righteousness and be eminently useful to your people over whom he presides. May he encourage due respect for virtue and religion. May he execute the laws with justice and mercy. May he seek to restrain crime, vice, and immorality. We likewise commend to your unbounded mercy all citizens of the United States, that we be blessed in the knowledge and sanctified in the observance of your holy law. May we be preserved in union and that peace which the world cannot give, and after enjoying the blessings of this life, be admitted to those which are eternal. We pray to you, who are Lord and God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We should also pray for our outgoing president, President Barack Obama, who served 8 years faithfully in the White House. As I've said before, I had many issues and frustrations with the Obama administration, though I can also see some virtue and some good. I think in some ways he's represented the office with a particular dignity for the most part. And I think, again, 8 years of service is worth noting, and certainly pray for he and for his family. And pray that whatever happens today in the inauguration, that it be a day of peace, that it be a day of a sort of a refreshing reminder, as it always seems to be, hopefully, of who we are as a nation, what we stand for, what matters to us. We'll talk a little bit later in the program more about the inauguration. We'll talk about the will of God a little bit, because that's one thing that's been talked about in this whole process, that Donald Trump's election was the will of God. There are different ways to look at that and different ways to understand that. So we'll talk about that a little bit on the show today, too. When we come back from the break, our question of the day. This is the Mike Allen Show. You are listening to Breadbox Media. If you want to call, 573-4BREAD-4, you can call or text, or you can email me, MikeAllenShow@gmail.com. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Ten minutes past the hour, you're back on the Mike Allen Show here on Breadbox Media. Looking for some help. If you out there want to make a selfie video, it's very short, 30 seconds or less, endorsing Breadbox Media or this show or another show. We'd love to put something like that together and get the word out to more people about why they should download the app if they've got a smartphone, listen to the stream, check out our podcast, Google Play, iTunes, or Podbean. If you're interested in helping with that, you can either send me the video clip, MikeAllenShow@gmail.com, or you can email me for more information, MikeAllenShow@gmail.com. Nothing fancy, just why you appreciate Breadbox Media and all our various contributors. If you want to learn more about the network as a whole, maybe you're not as familiar with the other programs, go to BreadboxMedia.com to find out more. Our question of the day here on the 20th of January, Inauguration Day. What is one hope you have for a Trump presidency? And what is one concern that you have regarding a Trump presidency? I came up with this question last night after posting an observation on Facebook that I guess I should have known would elicit some response. I said, and I quote, "I can understand as a Catholic being happy that President Obama's tenure is at an end." I really can't, obviously. I mean, someone who for some reason decided that his Justice Department should take on, among other groups, the Little Sisters of the Poor. There was an aggression against religious freedom in some dimensions with this administration that were very disturbing and unnecessary, particularly when it came to the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. Obamacare. I also wrote, I can also imagine being glad that the clearly corrupt Hillary Clinton is not being inaugurated. I understand that. I said, but what I cannot for the life of me understand is for Catholics to be exuberant and even giddy over the inauguration of Donald Trump without even a trace of concern, at least one that they're articulating. As I said, I mean that seriously. I literally cannot grasp it, and perhaps someone can enlighten me. And I saw this. My Facebook feed filled up with people who I respect. Among some who've been guests on my program, who are, I mean, giddy with joy. It's amazing to me how quickly it went from, you know what, I realize there are a lot of problems here. Jesus isn't on the ballot and so forth. So I'm going to vote for Donald Trump as the lesser of two evils, that a lesser of two evils became an unmitigated good. I just throw me a bone and let me know that you have some concern about this president who I think has a track record that should raise an eyebrow or two. Again, yes, it's positive. Give the man a chance. I get that. Understand. And obviously we are giving him a chance. We're inaugurating him today. But anyway, so that's my question of the day. One hope that you have, but you've got to answer both. You've got to tell me both. You can't just call up and be all negative, but I don't want you calling up and being all giddy either. So tell me one thing positive, one thing, one concern. So Kathy was happy to play along on social media, which you can do on Facebook or Twitter, Mike Allen Show, the handle. She writes, hope that our government will make some changes to lighten the burden of the working middle class who is carrying the rest of them. I think that's a fair hope. And certainly for all of the issues that somebody may have with the way Donald Trump comports himself, certainly Donald Trump is probably more of a symptom than he is a thing in and of himself. He certainly tapped into something, but that something he tapped into was very real, a frustration that politicians in their sort of elite echo chambers have chosen to ignore. She said, concerned that his lack of diplomacy will have our country in all-out war here or abroad within months. Let's see. Megan says this. Her hope is that he will be a successful president and the country will prosper. Hear, hear, that there will be, that he does have business acumen, I would add to that, and he will help this government become more efficient, more effective, more prosperous. Concern that his thin-skinned nature will end up causing diplomatic nightmares. So, common themes, I think, there between Kathy and Megan. If you want to chime in, 573-4BREAD-4. 573-4BREAD-4, or you can email me, MikeAllenShow@gmail.com, and with you can chime in. When I asked that question yesterday about asking someone to enlighten me about, what do you have at least some concern? Why are people giddy? Let's see. He goes, I had a couple responses on this. Whitney says, I understand your concern. I'm a bit afraid of Donald J. Trump's personal relations skills. However, the bottom down line comes down to it this way for me. He will vote for and be in favor of life, all caps. The current president of the United States does not feel this way. Therefore, craziness and all, I support Donald J. Trump wholeheartedly. Life is the most important issue to me, and I realize it is not for everyone. So when she says life, I'm assuming she means it's the abortion issue and the concern about the unborn human life, which is the great moral travesty of our time, modern-day Holocaust. I agree. It's a horrific thing if we don't establish that right to life as the most fundamental right of them all. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The other two aren't possible without the right to life. I agree. My skepticism or concern is I'm not sure that Donald Trump cares all that much about the issue. And I'm not just going with a gut feeling. I mean, has he talked about it at all since November 8th? Is it on his list of priority items in his first 100 days in office? I think the answer to both those questions is no. Certainly, I think you can be hopeful, perhaps, that there's going to be better Supreme Court justices picked and so forth. So, yes, we give him a chance. We pray for him. We recognize his authority because God has allowed it and our system has made it possible. But I do think we have to hold him to account. I mean, he's our employee, and it's important to what we do, and do it in a way that is not shrill, as critics of the previous two presidents have been, jumping on everything Bush 43 has done and jumping on everything President Obama has done. But we do need to be a voice of reason and genuine concern. All right, let's move on to sports just a little bit. Not anything too tremendous to talk about. Of course, the conference championship game Sunday, which should be some great football, no doubt. And I'll go on record as picking the Why am I actually picking the Falcons in my mind? Why are the Falcons emerging to me in my mind? I want to pick the Packers. The Packers are hot. Aaron Rodgers is a great story. But you know what? I just have this feeling. I'm going to say it's going to be Falcons versus Patriots in the Super Bowl. I could be wrong. I know I've been trumpeting the Green Bay Packers. That's my son's pick, but I'm going to go with the Atlanta Falcons in this one. I think Matt Ryan is going to step into that elite circle of quarterbacks by taking the Falcons all the way to the Super Bowl. So we'll see. Let's see. Here was an interesting article from SportsIllustrated.com about how owners know are when it comes. I think the headline was, when it comes to hiring NFL coaches, the NFL owners are morons. Pretty strong statement. But when you look at the coaching jobs that have been filled so far, Kyle Shanahan with the 49ers, Sean McVay with the Rams, Doug Marrone with the Jaguars, Sean McDermott with the Bills, Anthony Lynn with the Chargers, and Vance Joseph with the Broncos. Writer Greg Bedard says he sees very little evidence, except maybe Shanahan and McDermott, that seems to be indicative of success. You know what's funny is because, listen, I know less than the owners know. I know less than just about every athletic director in this country knows. But I can spot, like a bad penny, a bad hire, usually from the get-go. And sometimes I'm amazed at whatever reasoning went into that particular hire. I'll give you a case in point. The University of South Carolina hiring Will Muschamp as their head coach. Will Muschamp, whose teams at Florida struggled. And let me just say, if you can't win big at Florida, then I question your ability to win big at South Carolina. And they hired Will Muschamp. And to me, his tenure at South Carolina after season one has been fairly predictable. 6-7 record, very unimpressive. If Will Muschamp brings South Carolina back to the status that it was under Steve Spurrier during his heyday, I will be the first to eat crow. But I'm telling you, that's a hire I knew from the get-go would not last. Unfortunately, nobody's asking me. Got to work on that. Get my consultant fee up. When we come back from the break, we'll share our What Were You Thinking nominees. 573-4BREAD-4 if you want to chime in, comment on anything I've said, or email me, MikeAllenShow@gmail.com.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
The bottom of the hour back on the Mike Allen Show here on this Friday the 20th, feast day of St. Sebastian the Martyr. I'm going to go see a movie about martyrs tonight. Silence, finally here, about martyrs and apostates. And the question is, which one would I be? I think that's the haunting question of the book Silence. Look forward to seeing the movie tonight. Unfortunately, it's only playing one time a day at our big major movieplex, 9:20 p.m. So hopefully it'll be compelling enough to keep me awake, because that's crimping into my bedtime there just a little bit. Anyway, question of the day: what is one hope that you have for a Trump presidency, and what is one concern? Now, don't be commenting if you can't give me one of each. Like I said, I'm scratching my head at those who are unabashedly giddy, particularly Catholics, giddy, fawning over the inauguration of President Trump today, that it's just hard for me to believe there aren't serious concerns. I've got them. Yes, I do. Again, I'm praying for him, and I will support him to the degree that I can. Certainly, I will recognize his rightful authority. But, I don't want you calling and just going all negative, nor do I want giddiness. I want a reasoned expectation of hope and concern. 573-4BREAD-4, you can call or text, or you can email me, MikeAllenShow@gmail.com, or post a thought on Facebook or on Twitter. All right, so let's look at our What Were You Thinking nominees of the day. We've got a few spanning the globe, as we like to do, to see examples of people not putting their best thinking foot forward. I like this one. Up at LaGuardia, little problem. United Airlines plane backs into fuel truck at LaGuardia. Number one, we back planes up? That's got to be tough. I've backed my van into something before, because it's fairly large, and sometimes I'm not paying attention. The kicker was when our wife, polygamy going on in the Allen household. When my wife backed our van into our own vehicle, great moment in Allen family history. But it's just hard for me to imagine how you would back a plane up. Anyway, the tip of a wing on an airplane was damaged Thursday after it struck a fuel truck backing out of the gate at LaGuardia Airport. Does the plane beep? Beep, beep, beep. Shouldn't you have some guys with those orange cones back there? Anyway, so that's the first one. What? Backing up a plane without checking to make sure you're clear in the back. Anyway, our second nominee we're going to give to the driver in New Hampshire. This out of Concord, New Hampshire. New Hampshire State Police say a driver clocked at 91 miles an hour during a snowstorm. Said she was late for an appointment to have a new car stereo installed. Police say they stopped 21-year-old Anastasia Hocking of Laconia on I-93 in Concord on Wednesday morning. The highway was covered with snow and slush. Yes, speed limits range from 55 to 65, but state police had reduced it to 45 because of the storm. She was arrested on reckless driving charge. Could you not have come up with a better story? You got to give her credit for her truthfulness. But 91 to get your stereo installed. Okay. But the winner, we're going to give, again, go dumb or go home. Hopefully today's inauguration will not prompt a what were you thinking moment for the American voting public. But I'm going to give it to the NBA and the NBA's fans. Alex drew attention to me this morning. The NBA system for voting in its All-Star Game starters has resulted in Russell Westbrook not a starter on the West All-Star team. I don't know what you got to do to your system to tweak it, but a guy who has a better than even chance to average a triple-double for the season, who is basically carrying the Oklahoma City Thunder on his entire back. How Russell Westbrook doesn't start in his season in which he's likely to be MVP, something's wrong with your system. You better get it fixed. That's all I got to say. What are you thinking? How can this be? 573-4BREAD-4, always open to your nominees, maybe even from your own life. 573-4BREAD-4, or you can email me, MikeAllenShow@gmail.com. As I said, awaiting this morning, all the events that have to do with the peaceful transition of power, which we've done now 45 times here in the United States of America. There will be a meeting, a tea in the White House this morning after President, soon-to-be President Donald Trump and Melania go to church. Then they're going to meet Barack and Michelle Obama in the White House for the customary tea. And then there will be, in a sense, the handing over of the keys, so to speak. The transition of power, the Obamas moving out, will still be living in the city. When's the last time that happened? I'm not sure that it has, at least in my memory. Be moving out. I mean, it probably has happened, but not recently. They'll be moving out into the city, and the Trumps will be moving in. And then there'll be an inauguration in the Oval Office, or at least the oath of office, and then the inauguration ceremony and public portion of the ceremony, and the march through Washington and all that will take place. I think the public swearing-in happens at noon, and then, of course, all the, what is it going to be called, the deplorable, did I hear that right, is the celebration tonight. So I'm asking this question of the day, as I said, stunned at my own Facebook feed yesterday at Catholic thinkers that I, for the most part, admire, appreciate, particularly for their analyses of issues and their conviction of moral truth and all the rest, some of whom were unabashedly giddy about this inauguration today of President Donald Trump. Which, again, I'm having a hard time really grasping it. It's not that I don't understand why you would be happy that President Obama's term would come to an end. It's not that I don't understand why you would be happy that Hillary Clinton was not elected. And maybe even why you think that Donald Trump will be the lesser of evils who could occupy the White House. What I can't get is the fawning, the giddiness. I saw one particular Catholic was going on about how elegant and poised and beautiful Melania Trump is. This is probably after many, maybe, of the same persons have pretty relentlessly bashed Michelle Obama, which is amazing to me because Melania Trump's speech was largely lifted from Michelle Obama. And no disrespect, but the things that are being said are just stunning to me. And I imagine there are many of the same things that those on the left said about Barack Obama when he was inaugurated 8 years ago. Yes, there was an almost messianic expectation among some, which was ridiculous as well. So I'm asking the question, what's one thing you're hopeful for and one thing you're concerned about, but you have to answer both. 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. When I asked the question on social media about why Catholics were giddy, or some Catholics were giddy, not showing a trace of concern, I had somebody send me a message. And I'm assuming by sending me the message rather than posting it on my wall, she wants to remain anonymous. That's fine. She says, the answer to your question about why Catholics are excited about today's inauguration, God puts the right people in office at the right time. Even Obama. As a former military wife of 20 years, I've learned that it's not the specifics of what happened in the mission or who ordered it. It's the long-term outcome that we cannot even see at the time, and about your love of country. Okay. Here's where I would respectfully disagree, is this idea that God puts the right people in office at the right time. Here's where we have to really parse out what we mean when we say it's the will of God. Right. So it's Donald Trump's inauguration today as the 45th president of the United States is the will of God. We can say that. We can say that with confidence. But what do we mean when we say that? Because there are different ways of talking about and understanding God's will. There's what we would consider to be God's sovereign will. And closely related to that, in a sense, his permissive will. It's the conviction that there's nothing that happens in this world without God permitting it to happen. And this is rooted in our understanding of God's omnipotence, that he is all and omniscience. He's all knowing. He's all powerful. Therefore, anything that happens, happens only because he chooses to allow it. Now, that's a very difficult thing at times because there are some horrific things that happen, of course, and that happen daily. Pick up a newspaper. Terrible suffering and death of innocents and all the rest. God chose to allow it. Somewhere in the mysterious inscrutability of his will, he permitted it. We'll talk when we get back from the break about more dimensions of God's will, God's preferred will, for example, and what we mean when we say this inauguration is God's will. This is the Mike Allen Show.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Minutes before the hour, you're back on the Mike Allen Show. Here on this Friday, the 20th of January, St. Sebastian's Day. St. Sebastian, pray for us. All you holy men and women, pray for us. We need to actually especially ask for the prayers of our American saints, like St. Kateri Tekakwitha, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, St. Francis Cabrini, St. John Newman. Go down the list. I'm sure there are a number that I am forgetting, but pray for this country, pray for our new president, pray for a greater sense of unity among this nation's people around some unchangeable principles, is what I would say. Again, my question of the day, what is it that you're hopeful for about a Donald Trump presidency, and what is it that you are concerned about? And you have to share both. I just can't believe there's anybody who doesn't have some concerns. And I can't believe there's nobody who doesn't have some hope. I mean, I've got to have hope, right? So give me a call or text, 573-4BREAD-4. Email me, MikeAllenShow@gmail.com, or post a thought on Facebook or Twitter. Back to this issue that a friend of mine wrote sort of back channel about the reason that she's excited about it. And she said that God puts the right people in office at the right time. Sometimes you hear this said, too, about somebody who's elected pope. This person who was elected pope was, you know, God gave us this pope at the right time. And at I don't care who the pope is. We got to be very careful about what we mean when we say this, and delineate that difference between what God permits and what God prefers. Because not knowing that difference can be very painful. You ever had somebody go through a tragedy, for example? You know, maybe they lost a loved one to sudden death. And some well-meaning person, which quite frankly, at the end of the day, doesn't really count for a lot, their well-meaningness, especially when they say something like this to the grieving person. Well, you know, I know it's hard, but it was God's will. That's not, when we don't delineate the difference, That's when we can bleed into things like, well, God just needed another angel, or God just needed him more than you did, and so forth. Because there are things sometimes that God allows, not because he prefers them, but because in his sovereign wisdom, somehow he permits to give us freedom. I mean, that's the whole nature of the whole game anyway. What did God give the human beings? He didn't give any other creatures in the visible world. He gave them moral freedom with all the privilege. Privilege being we have the opportunity to love, because you can't have love without freedom. And all the responsibility that comes with that. I'm reminded from 1 Samuel 8, of course, where you have a situation in Israel. They are at this point not a monarchy, no king, or they are a theocracy. God is their king. Samuel, though, the prophet and judge, becomes old. The text tells us he made his sons judges over Israel. And as great a man as Samuel was, his sons were not. They did not walk in the Lord's ways. They turned aside after gain. They took bribes and perverted justice. So take heart. Even a great man like Samuel had trouble with his kids. This says, then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel and said to him, behold, you're old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint for us a king to govern us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to govern us. And Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken to the voice of the people in all that they say to you. For they have not rejected you. They have rejected me from being king over them. According to all the deeds which they have done to me, from the day I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are also doing to you. Now then, hearken to their voice, only you shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them. So Samuel, in obedience, proceeds to warn the people of what a king will do. He says this, these will be the ways of the king, Samuel says, who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots and to be his horsemen. He will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, some to plow his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his implements of war and the equipment of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards and give them to his servants. He will take the tenth of your grain and of your vineyards and give it to his officers and to his servants. He will take your men servants and maid servants and the best of your cattle and your asses. He said asses. Sorry, it's not middle school. And put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your flocks, and you shall be his slaves. And in that day you will cry out because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves, but the Lord will not answer you on that day. Wow, what a speech. And you, of course, the people said, Samuel, now that you tell us that, of course, we don't want a king. Why would we do such a thing? Why would we reject the Lord as king and put a king in place who will do these things to us? Wait a minute. That's not what happened. Anybody who has a teenage child knows exactly what happened. You ever done that? Warn your child about all the calamities that are going to come if they continue on their current track? And you know it. You've seen it. You're like the person standing on the riverbank who knows that just around the bend are Class 6 rapids, and your teenager is the canoer laying back, enjoying the sunshine with headphones in. No matter how much you scream about what's sure to come, all you get is a friendly wave. That's kind of what happens with the people. And of course, what does God do? God gives them what they want. He does. So was King Saul, who would become the first king, and not a very good one at that, was King Saul, was his kingship God's will? Well, yes, in a manner of speaking. He permitted it. He gave them what they wanted. So yes, his will. Was it God's preferred will? Clearly no. So we've seen the same thing where there have been popes. You say, you know, as my friend put in her email, God puts the right people in office at the right time. Not necessarily. Now, here's the thing we have to say about a Trump presidency. We don't know how it'll turn out. We really don't. So we can't despair or kvetch or, like I said, we can be hopeful. We can pray. We can have grave concerns. But let me ask you a question. And I know how I would have answered. 8 years ago, when Barack Obama was elected president, I was doing a lot of hand-wringing, deeply concerned about President Obama, particularly on the issue of abortion. We were electing, in my estimation, and I even wrote this publicly, the most pro-abortion president in the history of the United States. A guy who couldn't even bring himself in Illinois in his role as a state senator to publicly affirm the right of a child who survives an abortion not to be left to die. I saw grave things ahead when it came to this presidency and abortion. Some of those grave concerns have come to pass with his assault through his Justice Department on some dimensions of religious liberty, particularly when it came to the Affordable Care Act, a fight with the Little Sisters of the Poor that was absolutely unnecessary, just to be frank with you. So going into that presidency, I had grave concerns. If you had told me 8 years ago that when Barack Obama leaves office, that the abortion rate in the United States will be the lowest that it's ever been since the Supreme Court decision Roe versus Wade, if you had told me that, I would have said no way. This presidency is going to bring about such a bloodbath of the unborn, unlike anything we've ever seen before. And yet here we sit, 8 years later, and it's really pretty remarkable that abortion rates have now fallen to their lowest level since Roe v. Wade. I'm not saying it's the president's credit. I'm not saying that there aren't other concerns. Maybe there are other issues. Maybe the fact that now everybody's contracepting and sexual behaviors haven't changed at all. I don't know the reason behind it, but I do know that you never know for sure how these things are going to turn out. And that's certainly worthy of celebration, wouldn't you say? And it's happened under the watch of a pro-abortion president. So that tempers my concern. But I also say, let's back off this notion that this somehow happening today, sorry, Franklin Graham, with all due respect, is God's preferred will, that he intervened. We would do better to talk in more cautioned tones, because there's a lot, frankly, we don't know. And maybe, it's always possible, God is just giving us what we want, which sometimes is the worst punishment of all. We'll be back with a new hour, including a conversation with Inez San Martin of Crux from Rome. This is The Mike Allen Show.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.